Hey, this is Maria Matlock interviewing Arsalan Sayan for the Immigration 439 Immigration History course at JMU. Okay, so when and where were you born?
I was born in Kirkuk City in Iraq at 1969.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you grow up there or did you grow up somewhere else?
Excuse me.
Was that the place where you grew up, where you had spent your childhood, or did you grow up in another place?
Yeah, I grew up in Erbil City. It's a city mm-hmm. around 1 hour distance between my born city and mm-hmm. the other city. It called it Erbil City.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was it like living there? Sorry. What was it like living there?
What was like?
Yeah. Like, what kind of experiences did you have living in that place?
You mean my graduation and my experience, or...?
Yeah, just, like, what was your childhood like? What kind of things did you do as a kid? Where did you go in that city? Like,
When I passed 6 years, I started to study.
Mm-hmm.
And I completed my engineering degree, BSc engineering, in Baghdad city. That's mm-hmm. the capital of Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and it's far from my city, around 3.5, maybe hour mm-hmm. driving.
Oh, yeah, it's a long drive.
Yeah, it's a long drive, but I will stay in Baghdad, not moving mm-hmm. daily. So it's just stay there.
Mm-hmm.
When I completed my study, I just get back. This is my wife, by the way. She's named Sakat.
Hi, how are you?
I'm
yeah.
Jackie.
Hi, I'm Maria. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, let's see. So, what did you study when you were in school? You mentioned engineering earlier.
Yes, I just, after I graduated high school, I joined with the university directly, and I studied mechanical engineering, general mechanical engineering. And I graduated at 1992. Then after that, I started working
mm-hmm.
by my job. So I worked with the government as a head of mechanical department in the Ministry of Municipalities and Tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent around 22 years in there. But I moved to different places, like different position, higher than what I started.
Mm-hmm.
But the last job that I, I was a deputy of general director in the ministry. After that, I supervised the 120 meter, as I mentioned to you before we starting. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest road in Erbil City. Yeah.
Let's see. And how did you meet your wife? When did you get married?
We married at 1993.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you meet her?
Actually, me and her cousin, we was a student in university together.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a far relation with this family.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't meet her before. I just meet with her cousin, and we are student together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that this family is good family, so mm-hmm. I can find someone from this family that's going to be my wife for future. And I asked him if they have a girl like who, to compare with my age, is going to be okay with me. And he offered to me... his cousin, because his wife, sister with my wife, so he say that we have my cousin, and you can speak with her, and if you feel that you can interesting together, we can do the process. And I meet her one time in the marriage ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that I'm interested with her, so we started the process and we married. Yeah.
And you said that you had four children earlier.
Yes.
So how old are they and what are their names?
The old one, his name's Sivar, and he's 24 years now. And he's working like a team leader in Shenandoah Groves. Next semester, on the summer semester, he was starting his study in the college community that's in Bruges.
Okay.
Yeah, Bridgewater. And my other son, his name Dana, he's 22 years. He's already student in the college, Blue Ridge Water College. He's beside his study, he's working in the weekend in Marshall as a forklift driver.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, his name, Renner, he's 60 years now, 16 years. He's grade 10 in high school, Harrisonburg High School. And Ali, he was the small one, and he's only 7 years. He's in Smithland Elementary School, grade one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So when did you leave Iraq?
Oh, I lived in Iraq. Actually, I arrived at the United States on 29 November 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right in the middle of the presidential elections.
I have because we have a special immigration visa.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, because after we arrived in the United States, after 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, we received our green card.
Mm-hmm.
So we are permanent resident now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what was it like coming in here during that time in America? It was a very fraught political time, and especially with the candidates that we had.
I'm not understand your question. Excuse me.
Well, so what was it like seeing the elections going on here in the U.S.? Like seeing now President Trump and Clinton going against each other in the election. Like, what were your reactions to that?
I think that's not affected on us as because. When we arrived, he not started to be a president.
Mm-hmm.
After we arrived, then he's going to be a president of the United States. His political decision is sometimes is difficult for us.
Mm-hmm.
As a refugee, but I believe he sometimes speaks something, and after that, it's something would be changed.
Mm-hmm.
So he maybe changed his mind sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I believe it's a little confused for us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
When he make a decision and after that it's going to be clear, then he changed the decision.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning when he be a president, he decided to, I believe, get out all the non-United States residents.
Mm-hmm.
To outside. But after that, he changed that plan to, for example, people who's coming regularly and legally, they can't stay, but only the people who is not coming, crossing the border illegally.
Mm-hmm.
That they have not stay anymore in the United States. And I don't know, this is the
mm-hmm.
things that confuse them sometimes for like people like us.
Yeah. So what made you decide to leave Iraq? Why did you leave Iraq?
I forget to inform you that I work at behind the United States Army, and I service the United States Army in our country more than 1 year as a translator.
Mm-hmm.
And interpreter. So there is a law in the United States, I believe, is any country that United States Army to go to that country and use the army, and any people who's living in this country help the United States Army for more than 1 year, they have a right, and their family, to get a visa and immigration process to move to United States after the United States Army leave that country. So mm-hmm. after 2007, when the United States Army is moved to outside Iraq,
mm-hmm.
Mr. President George W. Bush, when he make a decision that after that, this immigration processes was open for people who's working with the United States Army. So I just sent an email to the United States Embassy in Baghdad,
mm-hmm.
and I requested that me and my family, our situation after the United States Army moved, we are not in safe
mm-hmm.
in this country anymore. So they make a decision, and we did the process. After that, we moved to United States.
And did you come straight to Harrisonburg, or were there other areas that you stopped in?
No, straight directly to Harrisonburg.
Okay.
I mean, the flight when we arrived to Washington, D.C., then directly to, we not stay in Washington, we
mm-hmm.
stay directly to Harrisonburg.
And what made you decide to come here?
We have no idea before we come which city is better than the other in
mm-hmm.
the United States. I just searched something to find which city is more safe, more comfortable for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some like a Kurdish community
mm-hmm.
Here in Harrisonburg. I hear that. We have a relative, his name Umid. He was live here before we come, and he told me that this area is very safe and very
mm-hmm.
good to people who's coming new, and job is available easier than the other places. That's why we decided to come to the city that there is some Kurdish people, like a community with us.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, it's not easy to go to other country and you not find in the city anyone speak your language.
Yeah,
it's gonna be difficult. He was like our U.S. Thai
mm-hmm.
With us and help us in the beginning first month to find a house. Our church world service also provided services,
mm-hmm.
Many services for us. But he's also helped to register our sons to the schools and the health issues. And it's like a relative. It's good, better for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how did you start working at the CWS?
When we arrived to the United States, the CWS provided many, many things, services for me and for my family, like finding house for us, furnishing the house, provide food, help us to register for the food stamp in the beginning before we start
mm-hmm.
the work, and they helped us to find a job for me, for my sons, for my wife. In the beginning, I worked in Ariake because it's, when you arrive to other, like United States, you cannot find a job for, I have a BSc degree in engineering, but I believe that's not easy for me to find a job equivalent to my experience. So
mm-hmm.
I decided to start any job available
mm-hmm.
in the beginning to get some income to me and my family. And I worked as a mechanic operator in Ariake. But after 2-3 months, I feel that this job is very hard to me
mm-hmm.
because it was a night shift starting from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Oh.
All the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very hard job. Then I feel that I'm not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited a doctor and he told me you cannot continue with this job, so you have to move to other position. After that, this job actually not CWS find it to me, social services, because I applied for TANF also,
mm-hmm.
so they provided this offer to me. But I told them that I cannot do this job anymore. And they tried to find some position like a cargo marshal. I feel that these jobs also maybe it's not healthy for me. Then I decided to find a job by myself. I searched to the internet and tried several places. Then finally I found the job is like a filling machine operator, second shift in Andros Food North of America.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that this position is okay with me, especially is working like computerized. You can by the computers control the machines, and it's easier and closer to my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started 7 months working there, and then finally, Lucia, I believe you know her. She's a caseworker in CWS,
mm-hmm.
She's called me and she's offered to me that there is a position available like caseworker for Kurdish, Arabic and English language. If I am interested, I can go and fill out the form and apply for this position.
Mm-hmm.
Then I decided this position is okay with me and it's office work, not that hard like
mm-hmm.
Planned and other places. So I decided to go and fill it out the form and make the interview. Then they decide that I am qualified for this position.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a temporary job
mm-hmm.
for 3 months. After these 3 months, if I prove it that I am qualified 100% for this position, they make a decision to be a regular employee for a long time and staying with them. After 2 months, not 3 months,
mm-hmm.
they decide that I'm qualified for this position.
Oh, that's
so
great.
They make a decision that I'm staying and be a regular full-time employee with them as a caseworker.
And what do you do as a caseworker?
As a caseworker, I'm working on the RMP. RMP, replacement and replacement and placement. That's position is the for the people who's new coming. On the first 3 months,
mm-hmm.
we provide, and before they come, we know, we get a notification that the capacity of the family, how many, and if they have a disability or they have a big kids or small kids, daughter, son,
mm-hmm.
we know everything about this family. Then we try to find a house for them. We have some sources like agencies help us as a CWS to find a house compared with the capacity of the family. And then, for example, if they have a disability, we not find the apartment on the third floor, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think about all these issues. After we find the house, we do inspection for the house to see if it's healthy or not. That's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And after we make sure that the house is okay, we make an agreement with the landlord, and then we furnish a simple furnishes that require to the family, like a sofa, like a kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
And the kitchen should be available, all the things that like an oven and, you know, excuse me. The simple requirement, it should be available, hot water, cool water,
mm-hmm.
Electricity, heating system, AC system should be available in that house. And then we provide, before they come, we bring some like a food. It's gonna be like a normal foods you're using for 1 week or 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
keeping in the house for the family. And in the day that they arrive, we have to go to the airport to escort them to the house. Sometimes we not do that. We waiting in our office because IOM arrange these things with us, and they, for example, rent provide a transportation for them to our office, and we are waiting them on in our office.
Mm-hmm.
So when they arrive, we just introduce ourselves as a CWS, and we are the caseworker who's covered 10 cases. Then we pick up him to the house, and we explain everything to him. That's, for example, open house working,
mm-hmm.
AC house working, every details of the house. If they arrive in the night, we not take a long time with them because, you know, we feel that they are very, very tired, maybe
mm-hmm.
because they have a long trip. So we just give him some simple things. Then we have a next day visit.
Mm-hmm.
The next day visit is very important. It's required for us as a caseworker to make sure that everything is okay with them. So the next day we're going to visit him to see if they need anything, if they are all healthy or they need some health emergency things. And also to sign the agreement between the landlord and the newcomer. And also we give it to him some cash money in case they need it. That's also required. Per adult is $50, per child $25.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe simple things they need.
Mm-hmm.
Within 7 days, we have to arrange an appointment with him. Let's call it orientation.
Mm-hmm.
The family, we pick up him to our office, and we have several people that's working in different fields, like education, like health, like a job, like a community. So we meet together with this family, and each one provides the service that he's specialized in. For example, we have Megan, she's specialized in the health issues, and Sarah, she's in the education. If they have kids that need to go to register to the school, Sarah is going to help them. If they need, for example, for the Medicaid and other issues, Megan, she's responsibility for the food stamp in the beginning because they have no job for the because also they need like a help, like a food stamp. So that's my responsibility to fill out the form.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have to register and make an appointment with the Social Security Administration for getting the Social Security card. That's my responsibility also. And we have to arrange another appointment with the social services. That's for the staff, SNAP, and food stamp. And if they agree to apply for the 10F, so you have to arrange also another appointment. That's all the things that we have to do in the first week. We have another program, it's called MIC, that's for the families who have a kids under 5 years. We have to apply also for these services. Also, beside that, we have a match grant. That's a matching grant. That's the other program. It's also CWS provided to the family before they start the job. But it's little complicated. If he apply for TANF, he cannot apply for matching grant. If he apply
mm-hmm.
for matching grant, he cannot apply for. So we have to organize these things with the family, and we explain everything to him to make him understand that which one they decide to involve with. I forget that during the orientation, we do explain everything to that family about the United States, about the job, about the how much is important the job in this country to people have to work if they have no disability to work. And after we have another visit, family visit, it's before 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I wanted to explain everything to you.
No, that's absolutely fine. It's good to hear exactly how you're helping these people
exactly.
getting settled here.
Yeah, because this is very important, I believe, to people know what we are doing in the CWS.
Mm-hmm.
Before 30 days, we make a home visit, next home visit to the family to make sure that everything's okay with him. And then during this time, our colleagues, they register the kids to the school if they require, or if their age is okay with the school. And we invite the household, like a mother and father, to our office. If they have a kids over 18,
mm-hmm.
they need to starting job. So we try to find a job for these families, and we apply some of them online, and some of them is like a face visiting to go to the place and apply for them until they get the job.
Mm-hmm.
We just provide, if they need, in case any other issues, help. And we also, beside that, we have one person, she's responsible to learn them how the transportation
mm-hmm.
to the city, for example, if they need anything in any places. They do like a training for him for the transportation, how they use that. And we provide the ticket, it's free
mm-hmm.
for them. For the in the beginning, for the to not spending their money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a service in our CWS provided. And after that, when they pass it 3 months, they change it. They transfer it from the RRP to RSS. RSS, if they are not much involved in the much grant, we're not providing, we're not giving them any other money, but just we help them to, if they need a job, we help them. If they need any health issue, we can help them. And also about the education, in case they need any other extra help, we can help them for this. That's our responsibility.
That's great.
Yeah.
So when you came here to the United States, were there any culture shocks when you came here? Or was there anything that like really surprised you?
Actually, it's not surprised me 100% because, you know, I worked with the United States Army
mm-hmm.
in our country. And during my job with them as an interpreter, sometimes we... like a friendly, we speak together, and I learned how the people living in the United States, how, for example, how much they have to pay for rent, how much
mm-hmm.
they have to electricity, internet, and all these things. I collected some information
mm-hmm.
Before we arrived, but it's, you know, it's not like people speaking something
mm-hmm.
and you going to the place and see what's happening there.
Yes.
It's totally different.
Yeah,
you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a little bit surprised me, but not that too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But maybe it's a surprise for other people who's not have a communicate with the United
mm-hmm.
States people before. It's going to be like a totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, have you liked living in Harrisonburg? Have you felt welcomed in this community?
Yes, I like Harrisonburg so much. It's a very quiet city,
mm-hmm.
and the people here is very nice. I like to, and also it's good for for a family.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good area to live, and I decided also beside that. And I'm now starting the process to buy a house.
Oh, wow.
For myself and my family. Because, you know, we decided that we're staying here
mm-hmm.
and we prefer to stay in Harrisonburg, not that other places in the
mm-hmm.
United States. So we're staying. Yeah, we decided to stay here.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that there's a pretty strong Kurdish community here.
Yes.
So I know that last year there was a referendum about Kurdish independence. How did that community react to that?
I'm not understanding what you mean exactly.
So last year there was the referendum on Kurdish independence.
Yes, yes.
How did the Kurdish population, like the Kurdish community in this area, feel about that?
Actually, it was we communicate with each other and about the independence referendum. It was easy for us to apply. It's online, mm-hmm. so we can just register and apply online to say yes to independent. And we applied, me and my wife, my sons. Yeah.
And you all voted for independence?
Yes, I like independence.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was it like when you found out that they actually weren't granted their independence?
I'm not understanding what you mean.
So I believe in the referendum, they ended up not getting independence. Mm-hmm. So how did that feel, seeing them not getting that?
Well, I feel sad about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because... you know, the referendum is like a first step.
Mm-hmm.
First step that the people who's living in the some places that they are decide to be independent with the other parts. It's like our right.
Mm-hmm.
It's our right to say that's our dream.
Yeah.
But if the political situation in the world is against this decision,
mm-hmm.
That's not our fault.
Yeah.
That's the world's fault that mm-hmm. they not accepted this. It's a democracy process.
Mm-hmm.
So we applied a democracy process to get independent with other part of Iraq. That's our right, and we not say that we are going to use a military for this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just we have a vote.
Yeah.
So it's, I think, totally is democracy for us to ask the world to accept that we are like a Kurdish people. We have a dream to be independent
mm-hmm.
with the other part. Especially we have a totally different culture, different language. Everything we are different, not like other people. So
mm-hmm.
we have a right to have an independent, and we have our flag in the
yeah.
United Nations.
So do you think that they'll... maybe have another referendum on that, or do you think independence is still something that they can have?
Kurdistan people make it a referendum, and they registered and they
mm-hmm.
they voted for the referendum. So I believe it's not needed to do that another time, because
yeah.
already it's available and registered,
mm-hmm.
and all the world know that around 80 or 85. Percent of Kurdistan people, they have a dream to be independent. So
mm-hmm.
I believe it's not necessary to do that, this process again.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we do that, because, you know, it's very complicated. Because Kurdistan, the big country of
mm-hmm.
Kurdistan, it was separated after the Second World War
mm-hmm.
to four places, four countries. So part of us with Iraq, part
mm-hmm.
of us, other part with Syria, and the other with Turkey, and the other with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if we make another referendum, that's not only for our part. It's going to be like a majority for all the Kurdish people
mm-hmm.
in the world and
yeah.
in this those countries together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's going to be useful also to do another referendum, but including all the parts together.
Yeah. So how has the conflict in Syria affected, like, have you gotten any refugees from Syria, in recent years, or, like, what areas did the refugees you work with come from?
Actually, after I started work, there is no refugee coming new from, Iraq or Syria. Only I received one refugee. He is also special immigration visa from Afghanistan. The family is from Afghanistan. They arrived on 2017 in December. So only this family I received now. But we have a newcomer. But during this time, there is some family coming, but it's from Congolia, from Eritrea, from other places, not
mm-hmm.
in Middle East.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think that has something to do with President Trump's travel bans, or maybe just the growing hostility towards refugees from that part of the world in this country?
I believe, yes, Mr. Trump affected, mm-hmm. affected to not people coming from Iraq or Syria or Middle East, totally. Maybe that's his decision affected negative on people, and it's going to be not easy for people who's already applied to come to United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a right because the law of United States that allow him to come to United States because they have a cases and it's approved already.
Mm-hmm.
There is many cases approved
mm-hmm.
From the special agencies that responsible for that. But maybe I believe it's Mr. Trump's his decision that these people it's not coming
mm-hmm.
anymore, and that's effective negative also.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is some people need really to come to the United States. They are not safe in these countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I believe that's all the questions that I have. Let's see. Is there anything that you would like to talk about? Like maybe just some of like your experiences either in Iraq or here in the U.S.?
Well, for the people, I believe when they arrive to United States, there is two challenge. First one is the language,
mm-hmm.
and the second one is the health insurance.
Yeah,
that's two things. It's like a challenge for everybody. If he coming from any other country, he have to face to face with these two challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the language. If you, it's the key to the language is the key to be a part of this country,
mm-hmm.
to understand, to communicate with the people. So I prefer, and I suggest it's also to CWS to make focus on this issue for the people, especially because they come into the United States in the beginning. And they have no language.
Mm-hmm.
They have no skill to speak English. So, but it's not easy to find like a special places to learn English.
Mm-hmm.
There are some places like a Skyline, like other places. In GMU also, last year it was some classes,
mm-hmm.
But this year it's not available. I'm not happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last year it was... There is a semesters for the people who's coming. Just they pay $25 per semester.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I was very happy with that that service is available in GMU. But I don't know why this year they decided to not provide these services
mm-hmm.
to the refugee. From here, I ask him again,
yeah.
ask GMU to open these services to the refugee
mm-hmm.
because it's really important. Excuse me, just
one second.
And also, as I mentioned, the language and the health insurance. The health insurance is, in the United States, the process is, I believe, it's very complicated for the newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, social service provide the Medicaid for the during 6 or 1 year to the newcomer family. But after that, they not provide these services.
Mm-hmm.
And the people have to find insurance by themselves or during their job.
Yeah.
And during the job, you have to spend monthly or weekly, you have to
mm-hmm.
pay for that. And it's going to be like a extra load
yeah.
to the new family. I believe if the social service or United States Health Department make a decision or help these people for during at least 3 years,
mm-hmm.
at least 3 years, they provide medical insurance to those family who's coming new. And then after that, maybe they learn better.
Mm-hmm.
For me myself, I speak English good,
mm-hmm.
and I have a graduate university, and I have enough mind to thinking how I arrange these things to me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
But there is people coming, they cannot, believe me, they need to learn how they open the door.
Mm-hmm.
They need like a lecture to open the door or how to use, how to use the shower.
Yeah,
they don't know. They're coming from Africa and they have
mm-hmm.
no experience for nothing. They live in the open area
mm-hmm.
before they come. So these people need at least 3 years health insurance
mm-hmm.
to be learning. After that, maybe these 3 years, it helped them to learn English and they find a job. And during the job, they learning how they communicate with the people and what is the required to the family, like a health insurance, like a transportation. There is people coming to her, they not used the car before.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of people is not easy for them. Maybe for me it's easy to involve with the new country like United States or any other country.
Mm-hmm.
But for other people it's not easy.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's
it can be
very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That's why maybe many, many of the refugees, they are not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because these two things. First, the language assistant. And the second thing, the health insurance.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
No, I'm sure it's difficult. I can't even imagine, you know, picking up and moving to a completely new area like that.
Yeah. Let me find a new question.
Yeah. Well, I think that's everything.
Yeah, okay.
Well, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Been very interesting. It's really awesome getting to hear your story.
Thank you so much for you coming to our house and we do this conversation together. Hopefully, it's going to be like a voice to tell somebody in the United States
mm-hmm.
that these things has happened and this is required, especially
mm-hmm.
for the new refugees. And I thank you again for you coming.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Have a great day, and hopefully you pass this
project.
It was successful. I'm happy you are here.
Thank you so much.
You.